Before we get to anything from your career, obviously we want to start with Jerome McGinley, your longtime teammate in Calgary, getting the much-deserved first ballot nomination into the Hockey Hall of Fame earlier this week. I guess just kind of your reaction to Jerome, one of the all-time great leaders, great guys in the game, getting that that huge honor.
Yeah, for sure, Josh. Not surprised at all. Playing with Jerome for me was 11 seasons in Calgary, and I got a chance to be on a team with him in Canada where we weren't very good in the first 3 or 4 years, and it was a real struggle. And he was the face of the franchise both on and off the ice, and the amount of work that he put in to it, and how competitive he was at everything. Didn't matter if it was a golf game in preseason or fitness testing in training camp or ping pong or whatever it was, he wanted to win. He loved to win, and he put the work in, and you could really see that throughout his career. It led to great numbers and very good durability, and he's very deserving of the nod to get into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
So, Robin, you kind of alluded to it right there, but, you know, when having a teammate like Jerome McGinley, did it help at all with those struggles the team faced, the Calgary Flames faced in your early days in the late 90s, early 2000s, especially with things like fan support and having to lean on one another in the leaner times?
I think it was a really good learning experience for all of us because, you had a market that was wanting a more competitive team. But, for me, when I started there in 99, we didn't have one. And so, you're at 9,000-10,000 fans per game. And whenever you'd go away from the rink, people would ask, what's going on? How come you guys are losing? What can you guys do better? Like, you had, tough questions all the time at the rink and away from the rink. And it really made you, I think, a stronger, better person. And to know that initially you're like, well, you can't get away from this around Calgary. But eventually, for me, and I think Jerome, you figure out what these people are yearning for a good competitive team. They love the team here and they want to get behind it. But we need to win. And so I think it was really good for all of us to go through a little bit of those struggles. For him, he wore it on his sleeve in that, he was the leader. He was the face of the franchise. He was the leader. And, we went through some very difficult, tough times, but it also made the times where things were better in 2004. And after that, when we did have a competitive team, it made it that much more enjoyable.
Robin Regeer's with us. And looking at, the leadership group, especially getting into that 2003-04, the Red Mile, that incredible run. Jerome as the captain, yourself as an assistant, Craig Conroy, another great guy in the game, an assistant, Rhett Warner as well. What was that leadership group like, being a part of that group with Jerome, Conroy, and Rhett Warner?
Well, it was a lot of fun for me personally. Like, it was the first time I was ever in the Stanley Cup playoffs in 2004. So, for us to, we got the matchup that we wanted to. Daryl Sutter, really sat us down as a team before the playoffs started. We were still in the regular season, and he said, which team do you think we match up best against in the first round? And we said Vancouver. And he's like, yeah, I agree with you. We want the Canucks in the first round. So we were happy when that was the case. And that's something Daryl really was very strong at as a coach, was understanding matchups, both teams and individuals. So, it just went from there. We had a great 7-game series that went back and forth against Vancouver. And the momentum started to build around our group and our team, and also in the city to stand behind the team, because I think it had been 7 or 8 years since the Flames had been in the playoffs. So the fans around Calgary were very, very hungry for playoff hockey. And then as the playoffs progressed, the belief in ourselves just continued to grow. And we played not a fancy style of hockey. It was back then it was a lot of hooking and holding and hitting and cross checking and bump and grind and that. But we believed in the way we were playing. We believed in each other, and ultimately we had what we felt was the best goaltender in the game at the time, and Mika Kiprusoff. So you know, just kind of built from there.
So you mentioned Kiprusoff, and he comes in early on in that season from San Jose. He had been kind of seeing some starts, but never really had a chance to showcase. And upon coming into Calgary, how quickly did it become clear that he was a special goaltender and playing in front of him was going to be a different experience for a defenseman like yourself?
Well, I think like we talked about with Jerome on being a competitor and loving to win, Mika was the same way. I've never seen anyone in my entire career that could turn it on like Mika. And you know, it was usually in practice where, you know, he just wasn't you know, whether he was just fooling around or wasn't feeling it that day, and he was kind of horsing around. There was a few times where someone would go in and score on him and kind of make him feel bad and embarrass him a little bit in practice, and then he just would flip the switch, and you know, that person wouldn't score on him the rest of practice. And I saw that in games too, where, you know, he let in a bad goal or something happened or he had a bad game, and he would just be able to come back and bounce back so strong. And to me, that was kind of the mental strength that that he had to be able to do that, because a lot of people think they can, but when it comes to executing that, they're not able to. And I've never seen a player with that type of ability. And also, you know, I sat right next to Mika, actually right across the aisle and at the back of the plane for many years there in Calgary, and he really understood the game in a very interesting way. And as a goaltender, you have to see the game differently because you're reading the entire play. And so we had lots of great conversations about hockey, and he really did study the shooters and tendencies and stuff much more than a lot of people gave him credit for.
So you've mentioned, Robin, you've mentioned Daryl Sutter a couple of times, and of course he was your coach in Calgary for a number of seasons, and then again towards the end of your career in Los Angeles. What was that like, kind of reuniting with Daryl again in LA when you won the Cup with him in 2014?
Yeah, like, so for me as a individual, I knew kind of what Daryl wanted, or kind of the fundamentals that he believed in with the team. So I was familiar with that. But when I was traded to LA, you know, they felt that they were lacking a veteran defenseman. They, Willie Mitchell was out with a major knee injury, and he'd been a huge part of their 2012, you know, first Stanley Cup team, but he was out in 2013. So LA traded for myself from Buffalo, and I was very excited to go because I knew I was at the tail end of my career, and all I wanted was a chance to win. I don't believe that you can pick a winner in the NHL, you know, and if you do, you're just flat out lucky. And so I just wanted a chance to win, and I felt that, you know, really I had that in LA, and we had a very competitive team there. So I went there being familiar with Daryl, but not a lot of the personnel. And so it was a little bit different experience for me that way in getting to know, you know, I knew like one or two of the guys and that was it. And so I think having the kind of familiar coach really helped make that transition for me personally a lot easier. And I knew how demanding and the kind of way that Daryl demanded and what he demanded from his players. And I didn't mind that, where, you know, some players it works for and some players it doesn't. But I felt for me personally that I played some of my best hockey under him. So I was excited for all those reasons to get to LA and try to be part of a championship team.
Robin Regier is with us, a 2014 Stanley Cup winner with those LA Kings. And before we get to, you know, some specifics from that time, I wanted to ask you about the World Cup of Hockey in 2004, because, you know, you're a young defenseman, 23, 24 years old, you know, still really finding your groove as an NHLer, coming off that great run to the Game 7 of the Cup Final against Tampa Bay. And then going into that summer, what do you remember about the process, you know, maybe from Wayne Gretzky getting the call, finding out that you were going to be part of the best-on-best competition representing Team Canada at the World Cup?
Yeah, it was very exciting, and Wayne was a huge part of that that organization and that whole process, and you know, to get a call to come play on a team like that against that type of competition was very beneficial. And you know, it was going to be held on North American size ice, which you know, I grew up playing on and prefer. So I was very very excited about all of that, and you know, getting a chance to be paired up with Scott Niedermayer for most of the tournament was just a very good learning experience for me. And you know, we'd come off as you mentioned a long playoff run in 2004, unfortunately losing to Tampa. But then, you know, you're right back on a team shortly after that, after some of the bumps and bruises are healed up, and you're on a team with some of those guys that you just battled against. So it was really interesting that way, but a very, very positive experience, not just because of the result that we had in winning, but just to be able to be around some of those great players, Mario Lemieux, for example, and you know, you name the players on that team. It's just an amazing list. But you look and see how they prepare for the game and what their practice habits are like and how they play the game. And it was really a very fun team and a very, very fun process to be a part of.
So, Robin, you know, you mentioned Scott Niedermayer and how you learned a lot from him. I wonder, what are some things that maybe, I guess it's a two-part question. What are some things that you kind of learned from Scott that helped you improve your game? And then in turn, maybe something that you passed along once you got to LA, let's say, to players like Jake Muzzin and Drew Doughty and Alec Martinez?
Yeah. Well, I think what I saw from Niedermayer was the way he approached and played the game. He was always, you know, extremely calm with the puck and with plays and reading the play. And, you know, for him, his skating ability was, you know, right at the top, if not the best in the league at that time. So he had the ability to get up in the play. And I, you know, for me, I was there to support him and make sure that, you know, things were taken care of on the back end and on the defensive side of it, and allow him to play the way the game the way he does. And so I really enjoyed that playing with him. But it was his demeanor, I think, and on the ice and just how professional he was, and that will always stick out in my mind. And you know, the preparation, I think, is the biggest thing of some of those very high-end and very consistent players, is their preparation for the game. And that's something that you talk as a player. I talk to many young players in Calgary and Buffalo and LA, everywhere I played. The preparation, you know, what are you doing for the games, especially for mental preparation? Because you know, the first 10 games of the season, for example, are easy to play. You're rested, you're healed, you've had all the summer off, and you're excited to be back. But then you get into what, you know, a lot of players call the grind. And then, you know, you start getting banged up physically and mentally. Sometimes you're not that into it, or, you know, for whatever reason, the distractions. And that becomes where you kind of separate the inconsistent players from the consistent players. And that's what I talk to a lot of the young guys about, is a way to find that consistency in their game.
Robin Regeer is with us, and I want to ask you specifically about Game 5, which we're going to re-air following our show tonight on the radio against the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Final. You were on the shelf with the knee injury, missed the latter half of that run after playing the first 8 games, and I imagine you're either in the press box or close to the ice surface. So when Martinez scores that goal off the rebound from Lundqvist, what do you remember about sort of the whirlwind from the celebration, getting to ice level, onto the ice, and then ultimately celebrating with your teammates?
Yeah, so we were actually, all of us that were injured or not playing as spares, were actually, we were watching the game underneath in the dressing room / you know, training room area. And it was hilarious, because as soon as overtime started in Game 5, some of the young guys actually started getting dressed. They're like, and Colin Fraser and I, two veterans that weren't playing, we looked at each other, and Colin looked over at me. He's like, "Are you getting dressed?" I'm like, "No, I don't think so. I think it's kind of, you know, I don't want to kind of jinx it or have any bad luck. I'm going to wait." And he's like, "I agree 100% with you." So we actually waited and didn't get dressed. And some of the young guys were already all in their gear, you know, getting, you know, just kind of, we just thought it was putting the cart before the horse. So, we waited. And then when Alex scored, everyone just jumped around and celebrated. And I had a hard time actually getting dressed. Like, my hands were shaking and I had a hard time tying my skates and getting my equipment on. And then, finally got out there to celebrate with everyone. And when, Dustin Brown handed me the Stanley Cup for the first time. And, you know, I think every player has special feelings about that. But I think for me personally, getting so close within one goal in 2004 with Calgary and kind of a game six Marty Jonah no goal call and all that went into it, that was a big wound for me and anyone kind of involved with that. And for me to finally be able to be part of a Stanley Cup winning championship team, that wound healed for me then. And it was an extremely emotional experience. And probably the most important for me was that my family was there at the rink and they were part of it. So mom and dad and brother and sister, you know, and that, and to be able to share that experience with them was what I felt very special, because they put in, all of them put in a tremendous amount of commitment and effort and that for me at a young, especially at a young age, to help me get to where I was. And I felt very, just very, very happy that I could share that experience with them. They could be a part of it.
So, Robin, when you finally got your day with the cup yourself, did you eat or drink anything unique, any babies put in the cup, anything like that?
Well, we asked the kids, and our boys have a bunch of little boy cousins, so we asked them, you know, what they wanted to do, and the first thing out of their mouth was, you know, "We want to eat cereal out of the Stanley Cup." So we talked to the keepers of the cup, and I said, "First of all, you know, how do you guys clean this thing? Because, you know, there's whatever goes on with it." And so we said, "The boys want to eat cereal out of it." They're like, "Well, what we usually do is take it into a bathtub and hot soapy water and give the cup a bath, and then, you know, away you go." So that was the first time our kids at that young age actually ran into the bathroom and wanted to be part of bath time with the Stanley Cup. And then, of course, we got it all cleaned up and had a chance to, you know, have them eat Rice Krispies out of it. But I think the best part of the cup itself is I had a chance for a day and a half to be around it. And it just turns almost everyone that comes into contact with it into just a happy, you know, they act like a happy little kid. It brings back so many great memories for people. And it doesn't matter what type of person it is, it turns them into that happy, smiling little kid. And that was probably the best thing that I saw, and I was happy I was able to share it with as many people as I did.
Before we let you go, Robin, I want to ask you, you know, whenever, you know, being in Calgary, you know, we're 16 years after that magical run to Game 7, Mike Commodore, the red beard, the red mile, everything about it. I remember a lot of those games really well as a kid watching them. How often do you get people still coming up to you and sharing, you know, how special that run was, especially for a team that, you know, didn't win the cup? It still seems like it's a moment and a run that really resonates and connects with a lot of Flames fans.
Yeah, well, our family, in normal times, we live in Calgary. Unfortunately, with what's going on now, we're in northern Saskatchewan, a place here, and have been for a while. But normally we live in Calgary, and it's usually people that are, you know, kind of late 20s, early 30s, that, you know, just come up and say, "Hey, thanks for all the fun. You know, we had a great time." You know, and we'll share stories about that. And I'm really happy, especially for the way that really the fans have now come back and supported the team. That's what I'm kind of most proud of that, but it does. It happens all the time, and it's hilarious, some of the stories. You know, people will say, well, you know, I blew, you know, 6 months worth of savings in 1 month on the Red Mile, or, you know, this, like, you know, the bars and stuff were packed. And but it was the enthusiasm around the Flames and hockey, and you saw that with, you know, kids and wanting to be involved then in minor hockey and be the next Mika Kiprusoff or the next Jerome Iginla, you know. So that was, I think, the best part of it. And, you know, for me personally, I didn't take part in a whole lot of the Red Mile experience at all, because, you know, we were in the playoffs. We had a job to do, and for me, I didn't go down there and partake, where some guys did and they enjoyed it. But I just I wanted to just focus on what we had going on. So it was a very interesting time, and I know that the city wants to, you know, kind of get back and get excited about a long playoff run again. And there was lots of disappointment with the previous season on how they kind of lost out early to Colorado. But hopefully we can, the Flames can find that kind of magic again in the postseason, and the city can get excited again about playoff hockey in Calgary.